Luke chapter 17, verse 35. This is the reading of God's Word. There will be two women grinding at the same place. One will be taken and the other will be left. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word, and as we hear your word, our faith will grow and we will be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us see what our Lord Jesus has done and what he has accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, pour out your grace that your word will be preached correctly. And not only we understand and believe, but we will obey your word. Oh, Father, let us live for your glory. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we finish Luke chapter 17, but I'm staying a little while, staying one more time. Because in Luke 17, our Lord Jesus Christ has told us what would happen at his second coming. But in Luke 17, Jesus told us about his second coming in terms of his judgment over the world. So before we go to chapter 18, I thought it would be good for us to see his second coming in terms not of the judgment that he will bring, but in terms of the eternal blessings for his people. If you read the Bible, you could see very clearly, as you read the end of the book of Revelation, the conclusion of the Bible is that Jesus is coming back. That's the conclusion. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7-8, behold, he is coming with the clouds, meaning he is coming with glory. Mark chapter 13, verse 26, then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. See, heaven that has been accomplished spiritually at his first coming will be visibly consummated at his second coming. Actually, Jesus' coming back is a terrifying thing for the sinners because he's coming to judge the world. Revelation chapter 9, verse 6, and in those days, days when Jesus comes back, men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, and death flees from them. It was so terrifying that people will actually want to die, but they cannot die. Even in hell, they will live forever, because true death is not what the world thinks it is. So it is really terrifying thing that God is coming. And yet, we see John in Revelation 22, verse 20b, he says, Amen, come Lord Jesus. Now, do you understand how blessed you are if you are able to say this? Come, Lord. Because obviously the sinners will not want him to come. See, this is the gospel. John chapter 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus says, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. See, for you and for me, Jesus' second coming is not the judgment day. For us, it's the most glorious day. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. So for you and me, he's not coming to judge us. God has already judged our sins in Christ 2,000 years ago. But today, I want to talk about his second coming in terms of the eternal blessings that we will receive. The second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the true Christians, it is the happiest day, the most glorious day. On that day, our eternal reality of heaven, our salvation reality will be visibly consummated. On that day, all glory will be given unto God, and that reality will be visibly consummated. On that day, no one will deny God. Every knee shall bow to our Lord Jesus Christ. On that day, it will be clearly revealed that the Word of God is indeed the truth. And all the words that Jesus has spoken are the truth. And that reality will be visibly consummated. Why is Jesus coming back? Well, to live with us, his people, in that glorious heaven forever. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 10, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so we shall always be with the Lord. On that day, God will gather all of his people into his kingdom. Matthew chapter 24, verse 30b and 31. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. On that day, you and I will be resurrected from the dead with the glorious eternal body. 2 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, who will be changed. For this perishable must put on imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. On that day, we all be given the crown of glory, the crown of life, the golden crown, the reward of heaven, all because of Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. Revelation 22, verse 12. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. Now the phrase according to what he has done, we need to understand that biblically. John chapter 6, verse 28 through 29, therefore they said to him, what shall we do so that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. All your works of faith. Romans chapter 14, 23b, and whatever is not from faith is sin. On that day, you and I will be just like our Lord Jesus Christ. The image of our God will be perfected in us. The image of God will be perfected. And that reality will be visibly consummated. You and I will actually shine. Because we're so perfect. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be just like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. This is the promise of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, for by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Did we hear that correctly? That you and I will participate in divine nature? That we'll have the perfect attributes of God. Not all of His attributes, but the communicable attributes of God. I will have divine nature. I'm not making this up. I'm just reading the verses to you. Starting from that day in heaven, you and I will be able to love one another perfectly, and that forever. And starting from that day, you and I will never sin again. Thus, we are able to love our God perfectly, and that reality will be visibly consummated. Starting from that day, no more death, no more pain, no more grief, no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more curse, no more Satan who tempts us, and no more this world. The reality of all our tears being wiped away by our Lord Jesus Christ will be visibly consummated. No more tears of sadness. The reality of all of us not having any other gods before our true God will be visibly consummated. You will live a perfect life in heaven. And there will be nothing that could take away even little part of your love that should go to God. We will live with God in loving fellowship forever and ever. But what I want to speak to you about today is this. The most important thing that will happen on that day. You and I, we will see Jesus' face. Revelation 22 verse 4, they will see His face. Yes. This is our chief purpose. If we truly love Christ, just like when you love someone, seeing their face is the most important thing. Anybody who fell in love but had to be separated from a long time, they understand what I'm talking about. The suffering of that person is not being able to see the face of the loved one. That's their suffering. Do you suffer? Because you want to see Jesus' face. Do you love Him? Or is it all talk? See, seeing God's face is our chief purpose. There is no better blessing than this. Christianity is not about what we have done or not, but it is all about our relationship with our God in loving fellowship, loving relationship with our God. This is what the true religion is different from the all other false ones. The goal of Christianity is to meet God and to see Him face to face and love Him as He loves us and worship Him with all our hearts forever. Do you understand your eternal purpose? For us, the worst suffering, like I said, in this world is not being able to see Him face to face. We miss Jesus Christ. Do you miss Him? But even as we say this, when we see how we live, it seems all is a lie. And this pains us. And that's another reason we say, come quickly. Because we don't want to have this pain. We wait. We are waiting for His return. Why? To see Him face to face. To see His face, the face of our beloved eternal husband. And seeing His face is our eternal heavenly reality. We will see His face, the Bible says. No matter how much we suffer in this world, no matter how lonely you are in this world, as soon as we see His face, we know everything is perfect. That there's nothing to worry about. As He sees us with His loving face, with His smiling face, all is well for us. What could we want more? Psalm 73 verse 25, whom have I in heaven but You? And besides You, I desire nothing on earth. This is our confession. Do you know how blessed you are? Because you are able to see the face of God. Because of sin, for the sinners to see the face of God means immediate eternal death. Exodus 19:21. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, go down, warn the people, so that they do not break through to the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. For sinners, seeing God's face is eternal death, immediate death. Exodus 33:20, but he said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. Isaiah 6:5, then I said, Isaiah said, woe to me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I'm ruined. To see the face of God, for the sinners, it is the most terrifying thing. Revelation 6:16, and they said to mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Facing the judge, the God who will judge the world. They will call on the rocks and mountains to cover them so that they will be hidden from that judge. This is how terrifying thing to see God as a sinner. Well, then how is it blessing to us to see God's face? The Bible describes God's curse and His judgment by God hiding His face from the sinner. Isaiah 54:8, in an outburst of anger, I hid my face from you for a moment. But with everlasting loving kindness, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. Psalm 13:1, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Psalm 104:29, you hide your face. You are dismayed. You take away their spirit. They expire and return to their dust. God hiding His face. It is to be forsaken by God. It is God abandoning you forever. It is to be kicked out of God's loving presence. The opposite of all that is God's blessing. And that is God showing His face to us. The Old Testament benediction. Numbers 6:20-26. Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. The ultimate benediction of God. Psalm 67:1, God be gracious to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. Psalm 30:3-19, O God, restore us and cause Your face to shine upon us and we will be saved. O God of hosts, restore us and cause Your face to shine upon us and we will be saved. O Lord God of hosts, restore us. Cause Your face to shine upon us, and we will be saved. That's what salvation is. God causing His face to shine upon you. Thus, from the Old Testament, the chief desire of the people of God was to see God's face. Job chapter 19, verse 25. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last He will take His stand on the earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God, whom I myself shall behold, and whom my eyes will see. And not another. My heart faints within me. Psalm 42, verse 2, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. This is our desire in that glorious heaven. We will behold the beauty of the Lord and worship Him forever in that glorious place. The true righteous and upright, according to the Bible, are those who will see God's face. Psalm 11, verse 7, for the Lord is righteous, He loves righteousness. The upright will behold His face. Psalm 24, verse 5 to 6, He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of His salvation. This is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek your face, even Jacob. Even in the Old Testament, at the typological level, our God has indeed shown His face to His people. Exodus 24, verse 9 and 10. Then Moses went up with Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of elders of Israel, and they saw God of Israel, and under His feet were appeared to be a pavement of sapphire as clear as the sky itself. But that is nothing compared to how God shows His face in the New Testament. In the New Testament, our Lord Jesus Christ shows His face to His people perfectly. John chapter 1, verse 14 and 18. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him. Jesus revealed God to all of us because He is God. And through Jesus Christ, God has shown His face completely to us. John chapter 14, verse 9b. He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say that show us the Father? Anybody who saw Jesus has seen the Father. See, this reality of us seeing God's face in heaven forever, this reality that you and I will see His face one of these days, My question to you, how did this reality accomplished? Seeing God's face. Well, Jesus Christ dies on the cross. As he dies on the cross, he cries out to the Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? You understand that he was bearing our sins, and as he was dying on the cross, he's paying for our sins. But the God the Father, who was always face to face with his Son, they loved one another so much. From the beginning of eternity, if you could talk like that, there was not even 1 second of time when they did not love each other, looking at one another with that love, eternal love, that perfect love. But on the cross, when Jesus was dying, because he was bearing your sins, that Father turned his face away from his Son. He forsakes him because he was bearing your sins. From beginning of eternity to the end of eternity, if you could talk like that, that was the only time on the cross, the Father turned his face away from his Son because of our sins. That moment, the Father and the Son were not face to face. Because Father was forsaking his Son. This is how our heavenly reality of face-to-face with God was accomplished. Now, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, you and I, we will see Jesus face-to-face when he returns. And he will never turn his face away from all of us. Isaiah 52 verse 8, I'm reading from ESV. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy, for eye to eye, they see the return of the Lord to Zion. As Jesus comes back, according to this verse, my eyes will meet his eyes. And we will be face to face. And he will never turn his face away from me. This is how he looks at me. That perfect love. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17. The Lord your God is in your midst. A victorious warrior. He will exalt over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. It's way, way more than you going to an airport and waiting for your loved ones to come. You love her or him so much, as soon as you see him or her, you scream shouts of joy. This is how God sees you. How can we ever be sad? How could us ever be depressed when you understand your relationship with God, God forever? There are eternal joy and love on my Lord's face as He looks at us. See, this is our present, already accomplished heavenly reality. This verse, Psalm 17, verse 15. You know, so many people in our church, they use this verse. I saw it in their home, in their iPhone. Psalm 17, verse 15. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness, and I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake. Yes, when we die here, we will be awakened in heaven. As soon as I open our eyes, open my eyes, and see my Lord Jesus Christ, I will be satisfied, completely satisfied. The world will never understand this. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake. See, this is our present spiritual reality as we worship our God. You have come to God. Yes, you cannot see with your physical eyes, but with your spiritual eyes, the eyes of faith, see God who looks at you with joy. What else do you need? Brothers and sisters, you know, you're going to face a lot of difficult times, sufferings, persecutions even, loneliness because of what you believe. It's okay. Because your God shines upon you. This worship, we came to our God. And you need to believe He sees you with joy. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, see with the eyes of your faith how He sees you with joy. Rejoice! Because this reality will be one day visibly consummated. Yeah, that day when your eyes will meet His eyes. It's eternal joy forever. This is why we join John, who wrote the Revelation. We join him, saying to cry out to God, come, come Lord, quickly, come. And we realize, even as we say that, we are so blessed because His coming is not terrifying for us. It is joy to us. This is true blessing. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank you that by your grace we are able to cry out to you, come Lord, quickly come. Even though we are sinners who deserve eternal hell, your punishment of eternal hell, and yet we are able to cry out to you, come Lord, quickly. Because of what Jesus Christ has done and what he has accomplished for us. Because you have already judged in Christ 2,000 years ago. For us, your coming back is eternal joy. Seeing you face to face forever and ever. Oh, Father, seeing our Lord Jesus' face, his smiling and joyful face toward us, that is enough, truly enough for us. We thank you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.